Next case is appeal number 2006-1422, Transonic Systems v. Fresenius, USA. Ms. Braun, before we start the argument, I would request counsel for both parties to come to the lectern briefly. I have a question with respect to jurisdiction and finality. So if you could both come forward. And my question is this. I noticed that in the answer there was a counterclaim for invalidity and unenforceability. It was an answer to that counterclaim, so the issue has been joined, and I did not see any disposition of that counterclaim. Can you, either of you, inform me as to the status of that counterclaim?
My understanding, Your Honor, and
identify yourself, please, for the record.
Mark Davis of McDermott Will and Emery, counsel for Appley for Fresenius USA, Your Honor.
Yes.
We're checking on the status right now of that counterclaim. We do not know the status. What I would suggest, Your Honor, is that we could submit a short letter to the court apprising it of the status of the counterclaim.
Does your adversary have any understanding of the current status of that counterclaim?
I'm Kevin Johnson. I'm from the Quinn Emanuel firm on behalf of Transonic, and I unfortunately don't. I recollect that the counterclaim was actually dropped and that it was disposed of, but I frankly don't even understand it before.
We just want to verify, Your Honor, before we make a representation.
What does it mean there? I mean, is it something that can take 5 minutes or 5 weeks? I mean,
I would imagine, Your Honor, get you something this afternoon.
Because obviously this goes to whether we have jurisdiction or not. And
to answer your question, I think I'll take 5 minutes. I think we can do it with a phone call.
Since there is some uncertainty, let me request that the parties provide to the court no later than next Wednesday with a statement of jurisdiction and finality, and particularly the status of this counterclaim, so that we can determine whether or not we have jurisdiction and then go forward. And once we receive that, we'll make a determination as to how to proceed. But in the interim, since the matter has been fully briefed and you are here, we'll hear oral argument. But I have to say that I am disappointed would be kind.
Yes, Your Honor.
There is a clear statement. This happens time and time again. We've written several opinions pointing out the significance of resolving these questions of finality before the appeals get here. Nonetheless, this just seems to persist. Under the rules, and in particular, Rule 28, the Federal Rules of Appellate Procedure, 28A4D, requires the appellant's brief to include a jurisdictional statement, including an assertion that the appeal is from a final order or judgment that disposes of all parties' claims. And your brief, Mr. Johnson, has a statement that says this is an appeal from a final judgment. Period. It doesn't say final judgment that is final and disposes of all parties' claims. Our local rule, to emphasize the importance of this, provides that the jurisdictional statement should include a representation that the judgment or order appealed from is final, or if not final, the basis for appealability. So in this case, there was a failure to meet both the federal rule and our local rule. And here we are in this dilemma. On the one hand, if the counterclaim has not been resolved, we are without jurisdiction. But yet, all of us have prepared, we've read the briefs, we've taken the time to prepare, and here we are. You've traveled all the way from California. And in the interests of justice, it makes sense for us to go forward. But it's a very, very uncomfortable position for the court to be in. And it's time that this kind of carelessness ended. So we will look for your statement, a letter statement, no more than 5 pages by next Wednesday. And then we'll go forward. But we'll hear the argument in the interim.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you. The transonic patents that are at issue here relate to hemodialysis. The problem that the patent solved was detecting clogging in shunts. Clogging causes recirculation, which makes the hemodialysis less efficient and can force surgery, ultimately in a patient, in order to replace the shunt. Transonic scientists discovered the way to see how the clogged shunt is operating and whether in fact it is clogged by measuring the amount of blood flow through the shunt. The district court erred in two critical ways, and these errors were a matter of law, by erroneously construing and applying the term measuring to the Fresenius method.
Do you agree that when you say measuring the change in blood flow, that is, in other words, measuring blood change in blood flow over time, that's a fair construction of the patented claim?
It can be over time, yes. Are you saying that it's
that it restricted? Is over time, yeah. I mean, the spec requires a dilution curve. What is there that would indicate that this is not something that's happening over time?
Well, I think, for example, that you could, if it were at all possible, and it's not possible here, you could, for example, put some type of probe directly into the shunt and measure it right into the shunt. And it doesn't necessarily have to be over time. What you're trying to do ultimately is determine the amount of blood that's flowing through the shunt. So
flowing over time.
Over time, yes. So I think we're saying the same thing.
Let me ask another question, Mr. Park, if I might. Using the 99 claim one as a point of departure, the measuring claim language includes the following in column 8, the line 51 and 52. Measuring the amount of distinguishable blood characteristic in said removed portion of mixed blood. The language in said removed portion of mixed blood tell me as a matter of the position that you folks have why the Fresenius method, which if I've understood it right, maybe I don't, you can correct me on that, involves measuring in the dialysate, why that can be read to understood as measuring in said removed portion of mixed blood.
I think there are two issues with the question that you asked. One is, with respect to measuring the dialysate, why is that measuring in the blood? First, the answer to that question is measuring in the dialysate is exactly the same as measuring in the blood. Both briefs talk about the fact that there's conservation of mass here. And Dr. Guggenheimer's undisputed testimony is that when you calculate the ratio of concentration differences in the dialysate, that is exactly identical to, not close to or related to, but it's identical to measuring the ratio of concentrations that appear in the blood. And in fact, the dialysate is not what flows ultimately through the shunt. It's the blood that flows through the shunt. So in order to determine the indicator, how well the indicator is moved, or the sodium is moved, or the conductivity of the blood. They have to measure what's going on in the blood.
I don't have any question about that, I think.
Okay.
It would be a pretty poor medical device if it didn't tell you what was going on in the blood.
I agree.
But my question is, when the claim language says the measuring is to occur, quote, in said removed portion of mixed blood, unquote, what's your position as to the assertion that measuring the dialysate is not measuring in the mixed blood?
It is measuring in the mixed blood, because what's happening is that when the lines are reversed and they calculate something called effective dialysis, and there is recirculation that occurs, the sensors are measuring exactly what is happening in the blood that has been removed. I mean, it follows the language directly. It's measuring the amount of distinguishable blood characteristic in said removed portion of mixed blood. Their witnesses admitted, I don't think there's any dispute, that the first three elements of this claim are met by Fresenius' method. Delivering, mixing, and removing. They do all three of those. The real dispute here on this appeal is whether they measure or not, and whether the district court narrowly applied measuring to read out indirect measurements, non-absolute measurements, proportional measurements, ratios, things that can be used to measure, and that are fully supported both by the plain language of the claims and by the specification.
Well, I think you've actually just put your finger on something, Mr. Thompson, which may help you with the question I'm trying to perhaps inartfully to ask. You say the district court gave too narrow construction and read out indirect measurement.
Right.
Is the position that measuring the dialysate is an indirect measurement, but that's okay because that kind of measurement is still within the ambit of the claim? Or is your position that it's not indirect measurement, measuring the dialysate, it's still measuring directly in said removed portion of mixed blood?
It's still measuring directly, telling you what's going on in the blood. It's not putting a sensor or probe in the blood. And maybe a diagram may be worth looking at. If I could turn your attention to Joint Appendix page 923, it shows the sensors on the dialysis side in the Fresenius method. They have the sensors on the dialysis side. The patent in one of its figures shows a sensor on the blood side. So, but my point is that by putting the sensors on the dialysis side, it's exactly the same as putting it on the blood side. In fact, it gives you the exact same numbers. So, whether you want to call it direct or indirect, here it's actually the same thing because those ratios are identical.
Leaving aside the direct and indirect, because I'm not sure my view of this is what I know now, that's relevant. Going back to just the question I asked you at the get-go, which is measurements over time, it strikes me, and tell me why I'm wrong, that the accused methods aren't taken as a function of time. That there are something called steady state measurements, which is what I mean, so that would preclude them from the measurement being taken over time. And it strikes me, therefore, that the difference between the accused methods and the patent methods are the patent methods, to the extent they require plotting on a dilution curve, require changes over time.
Well, first and foremost, their measurements are taken over time. I mean, their measurements are taken, first of all, they're taken in an original state when the bloodlines are in what they call their normal configuration. They measure dialysis, the ratio of concentration in the dialysate. They do that with the lines in the normal configuration. Then over time, they watch what happens, what flows through the shunt, and they reverse the lines. And then because of recirculation, they're then able to take another measurement of what's called the effective dialysis. And this comes out of uncontroverted testimony from their own expert, Dr. Ward. They then take those two numbers, effective dialysis and dialysis, and they plug it into an equation, which is equation 11 in Dr. Ward's declaration, and that calculates the shunt blood flow. So they are indeed measuring it over time. Just also following up on your point that with respect
to... But not in the same way that it's done in the patent with respect to measuring the area and the dilution curve, correct?
No, it is the same way. It is the same way because there's no fundamental difference between bolus or steady-state measurements here. I mean, they yield exactly the same results. And when they're taking measurements, they're doing it over time, and they're following up on actually what this court had decided in what we call transonic 3 or NMT3 in 2005. That specific decision actually, I think, confirms the fact that measuring can be something other than absolute, as does what this court did in 2001 with respect to changing. In both of those situations, this
court... What does that mean? What did you just say, that measurement can be something other than...
An absolute measurement, a probe directly on the bloodline. It can be, measuring can be done with respect to proportions, it can be done with respect to ratios, it can be done with respect to indirect measurements. You know, if I want to measure the amount of luggage on a plane, I can either measure the luggage before it goes on the plane, or I can measure the plane with the luggage on it and calculate the baggage by knowing how much the plane weighs. I mean, there are different ways to measure things. And the patent specification, we cited this in our brief, specifically talk about these proportional measurements, these relative changes.
Right, but there's nothing in transonic 3 or in any other of our earlier opinions that says that you still don't need to measure over that the concentration over a particular interval of time, correct?
No, I would point your honor to appendix page 106, which is part of the quote from NMT3 of the 2005 decision. 106, thus so long as an equation that embodies indicated...
Well, okay, I have the opinion in front of me, so what do you mean from your opinion?
So if you look at... this is a Westlaw page 6. I'm not sure I can get you.
Yeah.
On the left column, second paragraph there, the last sentence. Thus, so long as an equation that embodies indicator dilution principles is used to estimate shunt blood flow, use of a different indicator, a different way of introducing the indicator to the blood, and a different change blood characteristic do not mean that shunt blood flow is not determined or calculated.
Right. That doesn't address the question of measuring. That's talking about determined or calculated.
And that's correct, Your Honor. Measuring wasn't an issue in that particular appeal. This is obviously the element that came right after. But
let me ask you, it seems to me this may be a hypothetical to help clarify the discussion. If you're driving on the turnpike and you measure the time you entered the turnpike, and then you travel 60 miles and you measure the time you exit the turnpike, one can calculate from the measurements of the time that you've traveled 60 miles an hour. But there's no measurement of the speed. Nobody is measuring the actual speed. You're measuring time. You know the distance, so you're calculating speed. Obviously, that there's a direct correlation, and that data may be useful on the assumption you don't stop and have something to eat along the way, but nonetheless, there's a direct correlation there. Isn't that analogous to what we're talking about here, where the claim calls for a measurement? In my hypothetical, that would mean something that detects speed, as opposed to something that detects time.
Well, here, it's not quite accurate because here they use the speed. They need to know what is happening in the blood.
Here, meaning
the Fresenius method.
The Fresenius does not measure speed.
They measure, all they care about is the rate of flow through the shunt. And the way that they calculate that is by introducing sodium on the dialysis side and watching how quickly the speed of that travels through the blood. That tells you the conductivity of the blood, and they're then able to figure out...
But it's a different measurement.
It's the identical measurement. I mean, because...
Let me ask you this, Mr. Tennyson. I'm sorry, but you keep saying it's the same. When you say that,
Are you saying that it gets you to the same endpoint and therefore it's the same?
No, I'm saying it's the same because if you take the ratio of concentration differences on the dialysate side, that ratio is identical to the ratio of concentration differences if they're measured on the blood side. The number's identical. And Dr. Guggenheimer says that in paragraph 61 of his declaration, appendix page 1101. It's identical.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's disagreeing with you that what you end up measuring has something to do with the blood. I think everybody in the room understands that. We seem to be, at least I'm having a little bit of trouble because you keep saying it's the same, and then you talk about it sounds like you're saying it's the same because you end up getting the same measurement at the end, and I'm not sure I hear you addressing Judge Lynn's question, which is, sure, you end up knowing what the speed was, but you use different parameters and a different way of approaching it to get to that point. I'd be interested to hear your response to that, too, other than saying, in the end, you come to the same number.
Well, the reason that it's the speed and the hypothetical is because the ratio of concentration differences on the dialysate side, and I'm going to say again, is the same as on the blood side. What they care about is that ratio. And the ratio then is used to then calculate the shunt blood flow. And so if I were to say that it's...
Is the calculation, of course, the last step in claim one of the 989 patent talks about calculating the rate of blood flow. Is the calculation made from the ratio number, or is the calculation made from a different number?
It's Dr. Krivitsky and Dr. Guggenheimer both point out that it's the ratio number that they use. They take the numbers and they plug them into the equation 11 that's in Dr. Ward's declaration. It is the effective dialysis. That is the part of, that is where the measuring is actually done. It's not when it's, not
so
when it's...
So the ratio is the measured amount of distinguishable blood characteristics?
That is, the ratio of concentration differences is the measured amount of distinguishable blood characteristics. That tracks a physical parameter in the blood. It tells you the conductivity of the blood. Yes.
All right, we have chewed up the clock for you, but we'll restore your 3 minutes of rebuttal. And Mr. Davis, just to make things the level, we'll give you an extra 3 minutes for your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. And again, Mark Davis and McDermott for the appellee, Fresenius Unit USA. I'd like to start with the issue of claim construction, and I'd specifically like to start with the actual wording of the measuring limitation, because there's been a lot of talk about getting to the same result and measuring the blood flow in the shunt. But that's the overall result of the entire claim. That's not even what is going on in the measuring limitation. So if I could direct your attention to the actual wording of claim one, which appears at JA60. This is claim one of the 989 patent. And for purposes of the motion, the parties have treated the measuring limitations that were at issue, which are all repeated in our brief, as having the same scope. Now, the actual wording of the measuring limitation is measuring the amount, not the ratio, not the ratio of change, measuring the amount of distinguishable blood characteristic, and as Honorable Judge Jordan pointed out, in said removed portion of mixed blood. Okay, so there are a couple important things going on there, and I should point out that so the amount is not a ratio of the concentration, and it's certainly not the ratio in change in the concentration. And even if you were to accept this true, which we do not, that you can equate under certain special circumstances the ratio of change in concentration to the ratio on the dialysate side to the ratio of change in concentration on the blood side, that doesn't get you where you need to go in order to meet the measuring limitation. The measuring limitation is a very specific and very narrow worded limitation, and it requires that you know the amount. Knowing 3-to-1 that the ratio of change in concentration is 3-to-1 doesn't let you know what the concentration is on the blood side. We don't know. It's impossible to know. And when we brought that up at the district court level, on the summary judgment level, they conceded, rather than fight, that you could actually figure out the amount of the concentration, they said, no, 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 that's not what we're arguing. We're arguing that you know the ratio of change. But the ratio of change doesn't give you what the claim requires, which is the amount. And if I could direct your Honor's attention to page 664 of the appendix, which is the statement in their summary judgment opposition and cross motion. It's right in the middle. It starts at line 12. Fresenius and its expert, Dr. Ward, argue that no blood characteristic is measured because the relationship between concentration of sodium, which is what Fresenius adds on the dialysate side, and the dialysate in the blood is complex and unknown. And this is because we're not talking about a static, steady state. We're talking about moving fluid that's moving in opposite directions. So it's not like a stagnant pool that over time might have an equal amount. What they said is they didn't fight that the relationship between the concentration of sodium and the dialysate in blood is complex and unknown. Instead, they said that the argument is fallacious because the blood characteristic that is being measured is a ratio of concentration differences and not the concentrations themselves. So they're saying, no, we're not arguing about the concentrations themselves. But that's what the claim requires. And what Transonic is trying to do is they're trying to go back to the old claim language that they had prior to the Patent Office rejecting their claims based on the Hester prior art. And that appears, Your Honor, in at the end of first volume, JA 646. So if you look at number 2, you will see that originally, prior to the rejection,
what's that page
number? I'm sorry, JA 646. It's almost at the very end of volume 1. So instead of having the measuring, they say monitoring said blood and said arterial line to sense the presence of said distinguishable blood characteristic to thereby determine the presence of blood having said changed parameter in arterial line. Now, the Patent Office rejected that. And in response, and this is on page JA 647, after an interview, Transonic added the tripartite requirements of changing, measuring, and calculating. And as this court has already held in what we tend to refer to as NMT3, the calculating and the determining steps are all accorded equal scope. So rather than have the broad monitoring language, they went to the very specific changing and measuring. And calculate. Now, the district court, the district court also properly looked at the measuring claim limitation in context. It looked to what the role of that limitation was in the overall claim. And as this court has already held, the calculating and the determining limitations require the use of one of the equations that are spelled out in the specification. And so what you need, the type of measurement you need to measure an amount, and you need to give a numeric value to that amount so that you can plug it into one of the equations that this court has already held is required to be used to satisfy the calculating and determining steps. This is not...
You're referring to the part of the invention that is described in the 989 patent at the top of column 6, where it refers to the... let's see, I guess starting at the bottom, column 5 talks about a sensor provided at a location downstream of the port 40, etc., etc., that will measure some quality of the of the blood.
Right, and then there's also...
It says that it, and it's that measured output signal doesn't seem to me to be a ratio or anything. That measured signal is directed to a detector. The detector records the signal and carries out calculations described above for converting the sensor output to a blood concentration signal for determination, etc., etc. So it seems to me that's describing the measurement of a single characteristic.
Right. It's measuring a physical characteristic in the blood and providing it a numeric value so that they can plug it into a one of the equations. And let me just, while we're talking about parameters, Transonic inconsistently sometimes refers to the blood parameter as being sodium, the sodium concentration. At other times, it refers to the parameter as being the ratio of the change in concentration. Now, in their briefs, they actually admit in the beginning that the parameter is a physical parameter. It has to be something that is measurable. So, for example, for it to be a blood characteristic, for it to be actually measured in the removed blood, it has to be something physical. And if you look at the beginning of the specification at, say, column 2, it gives different examples that are all physical characteristics of the blood. You cannot measure at one given point in time a ratio of changes in concentration when those measurements of the changes in concentration necessarily have to be done at different points in time, although not as a factor of time. Again, the changing limitation requires changing a selected blood parameter and blood flowing in this in said circulation system to produce a distinguishable blood characteristic in blood, not about blood, which is delivered to the arteriovenous shunt. A ratio of changes in concentration cannot be a physical blood parameter. And sodium as the physical blood parameter, we never know the amount because we figured out a different way. And we figured it out based on our dialysis invention, which goes back to 1982, long before Transonic. And indeed, Transonic admits in their brief that dialysis, the measure of dialysis, is not a parameter of the blood, it's a parameter of the dialyzer. Now, and they give no explanation. I'm sorry, which brief? That is,
you said they did that in the brief.
Yeah, they admit that in their reply brief, and that is at
page 5
of their reply, Your Honor. So again, while they say that it's identical with regard to the measuring, the unrebutted evidence, the uncontested evidence, is that no one's ever asserted, they never asserted down below. And as the district court found, there was no quantitative measurement of the concentration of sodium on the blood size that you could determine from the Fresenius method.
Just before we run out of time here, let me ask you about summary judgment on DOE. Isn't there a problem here isn't this a factual issue that the judge himself gave on summary judgment, and isn't there a problem with that?
No,
in other words, aren't there experts or some other evidence that at least inferences going to the side is enough to dispute whether or not the difference is it operates in substantially the same way, etc.?
Certainly, Your Honor. Transonic never takes on the actual rationale of the district court for finding that there was no infringement under the doctrine of equivalence. As this court held in vehicular tech, if a claim limitation must play a role, and this court held in vehicular technologies that if a limitation, quote, must play a role in the context of the specific claim language, then an accused device which cannot play that role, or which plays a substantially different role, cannot infringe under the doctrine of equivalence. That was binding precedent. That rule of law is binding both on this panel and on the district court. That was the rationale that the district court had for finding, because we could not get the numeric value of the sodium concentration, which was the indicator for the blood parameter, so that you could plug it into the equations that this court has held must be used.
So is this a vitiation argument?
It's a vehicular technologies I've seen cited as setting forth an independent rule, but it is a vitiation argument. It's akin to that. But it's you look at the role that this limitation is supposed to play. It's giving a measurement of a blood parameter such that you can assign a numeric value. On appeal, they've abandoned their old claim construction that it can just be a judgment, and they've admitted that it has to be a numeric value, although they dispute what type of numeric value. But under the plain reading of the claim, which says amount, not ratio, you need to have a method that will provide a numeric value that you can plug into an equation. That role cannot be played by the Fresenius method. Even though we pointed out in our brief that Transonic failed to address the rationale of the court in finding no infringement under the doctrine of equivalence, they still, on their reply brief, did not address it, and they didn't address it in their main argument, and I would submit to you it's a little late for them to try for the first time to address that rationale on rebuttal.
But you have to acknowledge, looking at what the district court said and did, it appears at least, and this is at page 10 of her opinion, that there is, yes, the site for vehicular technologies, but then there's also the question, this terms used, they operate in substantially different ways, which is a test other than the all limitations with vitiation. I mean, it seems to suggest that they operate in substantially different ways is empirically factual question, is it not?
Well, the court's decision with regard to the doctrine of equivalence, and again, page 10.
That's it, two paragraphs.
Right. What the court is saying under vehicular technologies is that it's not playing that role, and therefore it's substantially different, because it cannot play that role. And because it cannot play that role, it's not an insubstantial change. It's not substantially the same function, way, result, because it's not playing that function at all. So, and in order for there to be infringement under the doctrine of equivalence, you've got to show all three. So what the court found is it's not playing that function in any way, shape, or form. And given that, there is no dispute. I mean, and there is no dispute with regard to, in this regard, as to the actual figures that are capable of being made. As I pointed out to you, to the district court, they conceded that you cannot derive, even indirectly, the actual amount of sodium, the concentration of sodium on the blood side, from any of the measurements that Fresenius takes on the dialysate side. So given that total absence of proof there, the court, I mean, really it would be error for her to do anything else.
Your Honor, yes. I see that I'm out of time. Thank you very much for the extra time.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Mr. Jones?
Thank you, Your Honor. Just picking up on the doctrine of equivalence, we do take on the points with respect to the doctrine of equivalence on page 18 to 20 of our reply brief. And the fundamental issue we have with respect to what the district court did on doctrine of equivalence is, on page 10, lines 13 to 15 of the district court's order, district court concluded, measuring dialysate is substantially different from measuring blood. This is particularly true because it is not possible to derive one measurement from the other. Unfortunately, that's just an incorrect statement. And Dr. Guckenheimer's undisputed testimony, appendix pages 1099 to 1101, paragraph 61, say that you can derive one measurement from the other.
Can that be read? Let me ask you this. It appears from the district judge's opinion that she agreed with her opponents about the amount being a critical portion of this measuring limitation, and that the question was raised whether you could come to an understanding what an amount of blood characteristic was using their method. So when she says you can't derive the one from the other, can that fairly be read as her restating your opponent's argument that there's no way, for example, to know the sodium concentrate from knowing the ratio? Or is that an unfair reading?
I think that that's an unfair reading, and I think it's unfair, first of all, because that's an incorrect statement. Dr. Guckenheimer again said you can determine the ratio and figure out what's how much sodium there is by measuring it on the blood side or on the dialysate side.
So as a matter of fact, when your opponent gets up here and says it's impossible using the Fresenius method to convey a specific amount,
we disagree.
That's just flat.
We disagree. Absolutely, unequivocally disagree. And furthermore, there's been a lot of testimony with respect to amount. I'd like to point out claim one of the 419 patent does not use the word amount. It says measuring the measurable physical characteristic. It doesn't say measuring the amount of blood parameter. And that is a fundamental difference. And in fact, finding no infringement under doctrinal equivalence or literal infringement of claim one under 419, I think, was even more erroneous, if I could. A couple of final points. Your Honor pointed to, was looking at the specification. I'd like to point out column 7, bottom of column 6, line 66 or so, up to the top of column 7. That section discusses and then tells a person of ordinary skill in the art that ratios are contemplated. It says the indicator is a calibration injection as described above, and relative changes of sound velocity related to known blood flow dial are measured by sensor. It talks about measuring relative changes. That is measuring ratios over time. And in fact, going back to Judge Gross, what you asked me at the beginning, Fresenius does take two measurements over time. It's laid out in Dr. Ward's testimony in this declaration and in Dr. Guckenheimer's testimony. They measure, once the steady state is achieved, they take two measurements and they use those two measurements on both in the reverse configuration to then calculate the ratio of concentration differences. Yes, and so again, the ratio of concentration difference. I'm not saying that the sodium is an indicator. It's the ratio of the sodium, the concentration difference, that tells me what the conductivity is in the blood.
I think we understand that point.
Thank you. Thank you,
Thank you very much. Case is submitted.